Chapter 5.
To be completely honest with you, Draco Rex,
Kandara gulped as she stood beside me at the ship's wheel.
I feel like I'm being pretty useless right now.
Nonsense, I promised the golden-haired butterfly woman. You just haven't really learned the ways of ship sailing yet, but you will in due time. Experience is the best teacher after all.
But I'm not doing anything.
Don't feel too bad,
Nadir called out from across the deck as she heaved on a rope.
The Kunak people had never even been on a ship before we met Ben. Nor had the Dragon King or the Nerolope,
Mira added with a smirk.
We were all island-bound before this wonderful man washed up on our shores and taught us the ways of the sailor.
Well, we also stole 2 boats from the orcs. If we hadn't done that, we'd be taking rowboats to all these different islands.
Also,
Lazan added with a snicker,
Jonas and George are pretty much just along for the ride, too.
Hey! Jonas opened one eye from his seated position at the very center of the deck, and, as usual, he sat cross-legged with his hands outstretched to his side as he meditated.
I'm trying to communicate with the gods to see if they'll offer me a prediction about what is to come on this journey. I'd argue that may just be the most important role of all.
And George is our watchdog, I noted. Same with Tyrion. If we run into any oversized squids or another Sanshula or the frickin' Loch Ness monster, they'll be our keys to victory.
I'm only giving you a hard time.
Lazan grinned through pointed teeth.
We all know I can't do what you guys do. That's why we make a great team.
Spoken like a true second in command,
Nadir teased. Lazan frowned and shot her leader a dirty look, but Nadir just smiled back. I knew that, back when we first met the Kunag women, it was a sore spot for Lazan that Nadir was the leader and she was not. However, now that we'd been together for a while, I could see that they were both just really close friends, and they only used these sorts of jokes to tease each other. Don't mind them. I turned back to Kandara and smiled. And don't worry about your usefulness. Trust me, once we get to this island and have no idea what any of these creatures are or where to even place the Wind Dragon Egg, you'll be like Ocean's gift to Maharo.
Wow.
Mira whistled as she gave me side eyes.
You are familiar with the story of the Water Dragon's creation.
What can I say? I shrugged. I tell my kids the stories I read growing up, and they tell me the stories Isla has beaten into their brains during their lessons. Also, Kandara, you have the most important job of all. You're the literal keeper of the egg. The green-winged butterfly woman had a rough cloth satchel slung over her shoulder, which acted as a fabric-y cradle for our most precious cargo. Though the Wind Dragon Egg looked like it was made of pure crystal, none of us wanted to take the chance at accidentally breaking it or having it roll away when we took a sharp turn or anything like that. So, we entrusted its keeping with our resident zoologist.
I suppose so?
Kandara finally smiled. That's the spirit. I chuckled as I averted my eyes upward. Now, how are we looking moving forward, Tyrion?
Right now?
The silver dragon answered telepathically from his position atop the crow's nest.
Nothing but blue skies and an even bluer ocean.
And what about around us, George? I asked my bondmate.
There are lots of creatures in these waters, dear one.
The water dragon replied from somewhere in the surrounding ocean.
But I'm not seeing any that look angry or like they could become hostile. However, I do see some that look like they would be tasty.
Without another word, I saw a huge splash out of the corner of my left eye, and we all turned to see George's head and neck pop out of the water like a great white shark hunting its prey. The water dragon had a large, spearfish-like creature in its jaws, and the thing screeched and screamed as it writhed its body back and forth in agony. Its cries of pain were cut short when George snapped his jaws shut tighter, and the fish's head and tail fell away like he'd just been guillotined. George then let out a small chuff as he turned his head back, swallowed the fish's body whole, and licked his lips.
Oh, poor thing. It probably didn't even know what hit it until it was too late. Though I suppose that's how nature flows. It's beautiful, but also brutal beyond measure.
It's the circle of life, I nodded.
The circle of life.
The golden-haired butterfly woman pondered aloud.
I like that. Do you mind if I start using it?
Be my guest. Honestly, I didn't have the heart to tell her it wasn't my place to give up the rights in the first place. I doubted the mouse's lawyers would be able to find me out here anyways. Then again, if there was one company that could cross interdimensional boundaries to protect their copyright. We continued onward without much incident for quite some time. Mira and Kandara stood by my side at the wheel, while Jonas continued meditating at the ship's center. George patrolled the sea while Tyrion kept a lookout from above, and the Dragonkin twins, Honora, Nima, and the Kunag women all operated the sails with expert precision. Finally, after nearly 4 hours at sea and some good simple chit-chat, our conversation turned to more serious matters. "So, what exactly will we have to do to incubate this egg?" I asked Kandara out of the blue. "Like, is there a ceremony we have to go through, or a particular way we need to emulate its mother's body, or..."
"It won't be that difficult,"
the golden-haired beauty reassured me.
"Given the fact the baby has developed so far on its own without its mother, I'm thinking maybe wind dragon eggs don't incubate through body warmth at all, which means all we need to do is find an environment that emulates a wind dragon's nest, place it inside, and then wait. If Jonas's concerns are correct and this is a hub for all sorts of different dragons, then maybe we'll even find an actual wind dragon nest somewhere along the way."
Even though it had been on the back of my mind since my conversation with Jonas, Kandara's words brought my fears right back to the forefront. We were headed toward an island not only full of deadly creatures, but that also gave us the possibility to run into all sorts of pissed-off wild dragons who could devour us in a single bite. Even though I still thought this was the right choice, I wanted to make sure we weren't just walking straight into a meat grinder. "An actual nest would be nice," I joked to ease my fear. "Just as long as there's no dragon inside of it."
"There won't be,"
Jonas responded, without opening his eyes.
"I don't know if you noticed during our previous encounter with the wind dragon, but their legs are quite small for the body they support. They spend most of their time up in the clouds, where it is easier for them to navigate and also out of the sight of most creatures' eyes. If we find a wind dragon nest, it will almost assuredly be empty."
"Oh, well, that's some great news. So we just have to find one."
"Now, the nest of a land dragon or a zap dragon would be much different, since the habitats of those creatures are primarily on land."
"Wait, a zap dragon?" I gasped. "Did he mean a fucking lightning dragon? Because that would be fucking amazing."
"I thought those were just legends,"
Mirren noted.
"Stories our ancestors told so we wouldn't be afraid of the storms that rolled across our island."
"Well, nobody has ever actually seen one," Jonas admitted. "At least no dragonkin has. But who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky and become the first during this adventure."
I didn't know if lucky was the right term. "How many dragon types are there?" I continued to question Jonas's knowledge. "I thought there were only 4 elements.
4 elements?
Mira looked at me like I'd sprouted a second head.
"Where in the world did you get the idea there were only 4 elements?
"That's kind of the standard back in my world," I shrugged. "But you have earth or land, water, fire, and wind. That's like what every single story classified them as back in my home."
"Elements make up everything around us,"
Jonas explained with his eyes still shut tightly.
"From the wood of this ship to the iron of our cannons, to the sea glass that makes up our cherished weapons. It would be foolish and counterproductive to try and categorize every single element in this world and place them into a single constricting box. There are an immeasurable number of elements out there, Draco Rex."
"So does that mean there could possibly be an immeasurable number of dragon types, too?" I grinned at the thought, and I began to fantasize about having an army of hundreds of dragons at my disposal, with each wielding a different element but still being equally deadly. I would be the most powerful Draco Rex ever. But I was getting ahead of myself. I was nowhere near that powerful yet, and encountering a bunch of wild dragons with no allegiance to me would currently pose a major problem. Finally, Jonas's eyes sprang open.
"In theory, yes, there could be untold numbers of species, though only a handful have been encountered by our people."
"Well, there's a first for everything," I joked, even though I was a tad nervous. This information was definitely a double-edged sword. If there were dragon types for many different elements, and there was an infinite number of elements to choose from, I could become more and more powerful. But that also meant the orcs would have ample opportunities to build up their own forces, and march on toward total world domination. Then again, given how dumb most of them were, I wondered if they were even aware of all the possibilities. So far, it seemed like the orcs cared about nothing but pillaging, raping, and killing, and anything beyond that was just a result of their primal needs. Still, I couldn't help but wonder what their endgame was. These grunts had to report to somebody. Somebody much smarter than they were. I already knew there were orc captains, though if Karnog was any indication, they were just as bumbling and stupid as their crew. No, there had to be somebody at the top who was giving them their marching orders. Then again, maybe not. Maybe I was trying to make too much sense out of the chaotic world I had become a part of, and there was nothing to the orcs beyond their simple carnal desires. Either way, I shuddered at the thought of them getting their hands on any more dragons. Mira must have sensed my tension, because her scaled hand softly brushed past my cheek.
Tell me what you're thinking, Ben.
I'm just thinking about how bad it'd be if the orcs ever got a hold of other types of dragons. Like, what if there's a thunder dragon out there or something, like a lava dragon? They would be completely unstoppable.
Nonsense, Jonas reassured me as he stood from his seated position. If there is one thing I've learned from my many years of study and meditation, it's that there is always a natural opposite.
Exactly,
Kandara added.
Nature has a strange way of creating balance, Draco Rex. It's all part of the natural order that surrounds us.
Damn. I didn't realize Kandara and Jonas were both frickin' Jedi Masters. So you're saying that, for instance, if there was such a thing as a wood dragon, then there would be what? An axe dragon to balance it out?
An axe dragon!
Luzon gasped.
Ah, sign me up.
It would most likely be an iron dragon. Or maybe the fire dragons would be the natural counter to a wood dragon. I'm not sure, but there would be something.
Exactly. The simplest example are our two friends here, George and Tyrion. Fire and water.
Natural balance.
What about these wind dragons? What would their natural opposite be? Land dragons?
Most likely.
Jonas nodded. And the zap dragons? I continued my line of thought. Are there, like, rubber dragons out there to counter them?
Perhaps. The elder soothsayer shrugged. We don't know for sure. All we know is there could be many, many more types of dragons out in the world. And chances are we won't even see a quarter of them in our lifetimes.
Whoa. I think you two just blew my damn mind. Like, seriously, I'm considering sitting down and just rethinking everything I knew.
You're welcome. I've achieved this phenomena of world-shattering thoughts with your children quite often, but I'm proud to know I've accomplished it with you as well.
Seriously? I laughed to myself. I just hope this doesn't all eventually turn into a dragon-sized game of Pokemon.
I'm curious why we don't see these creatures if there are so many of them.
Two reasons,
Jonas reminded the warrior.
Remember, these creatures are highly intelligent. They aren't mindless beings like a Sanshula or a Gargamor. As you've seen firsthand, they all have personalities and their own sophisticated intellects. The reason you don't see them is mostly because they don't want to be seen.
And the second reason?
I'm afraid that one is more troublesome. The legends state they were hunted to near extinction thousands of cycles ago, mostly because they were seen as nuisances. That is why the Dragonkin people were so unique. We were one of the few races to actually coexist with dragons, rather than see them as our enemies. Of course, Kandara's people seem to follow the same philosophy as well.
It's sad, really.
Kandara hung her head, and her golden locks drooped down like a cascade of hay.
They're such majestic creatures, and those ugly green monsters just wanted to kill them and enslave them without a second thought.
That's why it's so important for Ben to keep having children with other races.
Jonas interjected suddenly. Pardon? This conversation just took a strange turn. What does me helping repopulate a couple of dying races have to do with anything?
Your title, Draco Rex, it isn't only a term of endearment.
It means Dragon King, I finished for him. At least that's what it means in my world.
Precisely,
the old soothsayer nodded.
Draco Rex is more than just a fancy title, Benjamin Whitfield. We Dragonkin were literally created by Oshun from the blood of a water dragon, which means we are the closest thing to a dragon that exists in this world. So far, everyone who has bonded with these creatures has been of Dragonkin blood, with a few notable exceptions.
Women who have Dragonkin babies inside of them.
Gemma was pregnant when she bonded with Tyrion. And back on the Isle of Dragons, the rebonding ceremony only had an effect on a handful of the women. Lezan, Nadir, Dalwen, and Elzara.
All of whom were pregnant. I nodded.
So, what does that mean, Jonas?
Mira questioned.
Will Gemma lose her bond with her dragon when she finally gives birth?
I do not believe so, though I cannot be sure. I've only ever seen the bonding process in regards to water dragons and dragonkin.
That can't be right.
Kandara spoke up with a firm shake of her head.
Our former mates were bonded with their fire dragons, and they weren't dragonkin at all. And I'm about 90% sure they weren't pregnant with a dragonkin child as well.
The orcs seem to be able to bond with that large wind dragon as well.
You misunderstand. I'm not claiming it is only dragonkin who can bond with a dragon. However, I think a person with dragonkin blood can bond with any dragon, and not just the one their species has been assigned.
Assigned? What are you saying? That nature is just like morphos can bond with fire dragons only, and orcs can bond only with wind dragons?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Though I still don't truly believe the wind dragon that attacked us was bonded with an orc. If the orcs could bond with any sort of dragon, they wouldn't put so much effort into trying to capture the other ones.
There are plenty of other ways to train wild beasts,
Mira agreed.
Besides, those fuckers of mothers wouldn't know how to bond with a living creature if it was laid out for them in written instructions. They don't have that sort of sympathy.
No, they don't.
Back to my original point. This is why it is integral you impregnate as many of your subjects as you possibly can. If you keep it up, we will soon have an entire population of warriors, kings, and conquerors who can bond with any dragon they desire. And when they go back on to lead their subsequent peoples, they will do so with a powerful ally at their sides. Think about it, Ben. You will be the true Draco Rex, the man who was able to create a Draco Dynastia.
Dragon Dynasty, huh? Whew. Gotta admit, I do like the sound of that. Okay, fine, Jonas, you really twisted my arm here. I'll keep trying to impregnate as many of these beautiful women as I can. Jonas looked at me with an expression of a father who just found out his son quit college and decided to go to clown school.
You're being sarcastic, aren't you?
Sarcastic isn't the right word. More like facetious.
Well, facetious or not, I want to see the Dragonkin people become the great race they once were. And I believe the best way for that to happen is for you to be at the helm, Ben.
Guys?
Tyrion's voice echoed through my brain.
I hate to break up the love fest down there, but we've got some trouble up ahead.
Oh, no, I said as I felt the color drain away from my face.
What's wrong, Draco Rex? Did you not appreciate the pressure that came along with my comment?
What? I snapped out of my stupor. Tyrion just told me we've got trouble up ahead. What's the deal, Tyrion? Do we need to get into our battle stations?
No.
The silver dragon on the crow's nest explained.
Not unless you want to try and fight the sea itself. The waters up ahead are swirling intensely, and all the swirling things stretch out across the horizon.
Whirlpools, I announced with dread in my voice.
Everybody, we're coming up on a field of whirlpools.
Can't we just sail around them?
Kandara's eyes widened. Not a chance, I said, as I gripped onto the ship's wheel even tighter. Even if I tried to bank us hard and sail parallel to the whirlpools, the wind is at our back. We'd be in the damn thing's grip before we even made it a few miles east or west.
So, what can we do then?
Mira demanded. My heart pounded inside of my chest as I thought about our options. Back in the Coast Guard, they'd taught us all about what to do when you came face to face with a deadly whirlpool. If you tried to go against the current or sail straight across the swirling vortex, you'd be sucked into its gravity and potentially capsized. The only way you could possibly survive was by using the whirlpool's own momentum to your advantage. This is going to sound crazy, I admitted to my crew. We're going to have to sail along with their currents. If we stay at the edge of the circle and go in the same direction as the swirling water, we can use the momentum it gives us to leave the whirlpool's pull like an arrow from a bow.
That's fine when it's just one whirlpool, but didn't you say there was a whole field of them?
There are, I managed to croak out. We're just going to have to try our luck at slingshotting our way through all of them.
I'm not even sure if that's possible.
Neither am I. I'm not going to let the rest of the crew know that, though. Now, get into position and strap yourself down. This is going to be a really, really bumpy ride.
Everybody, tie yourselves down!
Mira ordered the rest of the crew as she headed over to one of the main masts.
We are approaching a sea of whirlpools, and the only way to get past them is go through.
The women across the deck murmured under their breaths as their faces grew taut with fear. But they knew if we wanted to get through this, we were all going to have to work as one efficient, well-oiled machine. George, I commanded my water dragon. You should probably get back up here on the boat, buddy.
Right away, dear one,
George's voice answered. Tyrion, I called up to the dragon above. I'm going to need you to do some reconnaissance for me. Do you think you can handle that?
It will be different without Gemma on my back. But I'll manage. What am I looking for?
Look for patterns in the water. More particularly, see if you can find any whirlpools right next to each other that are turning in opposite directions. That way, we don't run into any resistance when we move from one to the next. In a perfect scenario, we'd find a stretch of whirlpools with several individual ones that turned clockwise and counterclockwise smushed up against each other. That way, we could actually use the momentum to our advantage to not only escape the whirlpool's grasps, but also to give us a bit of a speed boost. It'd be just like we were hitting all the speed strips in Mario Kart.
I'll see what I can do,
Tyrion confirmed. The silver dragon spread his leathery wings, beat them down as he rose off the crow's nest, and then flew up into the sky. I watched as he soared out into the horizon, and I felt a knot form inside my stomach, as I hoped he stayed within the reach of our dragon bond. How's it looking out there, Tyrion? I asked through the radio silence. Finally, after a few tense moments of nothing, Tyrion's voice came through my mind.
I found some!
The adolescent fire dragon announced.
If you head about a quarter nautical mile to the west, there are four whirlpools, all in a line that run opposite of each other.
And what about after that? How many more will we need to pass through to get out the other side?
After those four, it looks kinda tricky. There is one immediately to the right that will work, and then one above that as well. Then once you hit the sixth whirlpool, you'll have to go one to the left. If I'm seeing things correctly, you should be able to ride that last one to the other side of the whirlpool field.
Oh, great. It was like a much more deadly version of a Zelda puzzle. Four up, one to the right, one up, one to the left, and then we're home free, I muttered to myself. Four up, one left.
Do you need me to repeat that?
Tyrion offered.
Or if that's too hard, I could try to find another path.
I'll be fine, I reassured the dragon. I'm just nervous. I was never any good at memory games as a kid. Everybody, we need to veer port side now.
Right away, Draco X,
Nadir cackled in response. My crew and I worked together until the Dragon Queen lurched to the left, and then we started toward the only path we had through the deadly whirlpools. Most of my crew seemed to be keeping their cool, but Kandara was a hot mess. The butterfly woman had tied a rope around her waist and attached it to the anchor windlass. And her green wings were fluttering in quick, nervous beats. The woman's eyes were filled with fear as they darted back and forth across the horizon, and she fidgeted with her golden braids as if she were a child nervous for their first day of school. Jonas, on the other hand, was as cool as a cucumber. The elderly soothsayer had retaken his spot at the center of the ship and was back in his cross-legged, eyes-closed position. George had taken up residence right beside the soothsayer, and the blue water dragon looked Jonas over with pure confusion plastered on his face.
Did he forget to tie himself down?
George questioned, as he began to circle Jonas's body. I don't think so. I think that's just his way of staying calm under pressure. Honestly, I wish I could do it as good as him.
I just hope we don't hit a large wave. I don't want to have to go dragonkin fishing.
Nima, our final crew member, helped Mira as they tried to keep the ship steady. Both of the women were attached to the mast in front of them, and they chattered back and forth as they manned their positions. Soon, we'd traveled the quarter of a mile Tyrion had laid out, so I slowly began to turn the wheel in the opposite direction and barked out a new set of orders. All right, crew, I said as my heart fell into my stomach. Here we go. We were now headed straight into the belly of the beast. Strangely enough, neither the color of the sky nor the temperament of the ocean changed as we lurched forward. White clouds dotted the clear blue sky all around us, and there wasn't a single hint of rain or stormy weather. However, once we got a bit closer to our destination, I heard the sound of our potential demise. It sounded no different than a flowing river, only it was a bit deeper in tone, and the sound rose up from all directions around us. Finally, I saw what Tyrion had been talking about. The first whirlpool moved in a clockwise direction, so I slightly shifted my wheel so the Dragon Queen veered gently to her port side. Then I took a deep breath and prepared to cross. If Tyrion's directions were correct, then we would be able to move across the first four whirlpools without incident, before we needed to turn starboard and hit the whirlpool on our immediate right. Four up, one to the right, One up, one to the left, and then we're home free. I repeated under my breath. That's when we hit the first swirling vortex. I'd steered our ship to the very edge of the water's movement, so we were in the clear as far as staying out of its pull. However, the bottom of the boat was suddenly caught up in the rushing water, so I had to grip onto the wheel tight to keep from being tossed and turned like an invalid in a wave pool. The pull of the vortex was mighty, and it took all of my strength to keep us moving in a straight line forward. Within a few seconds, I felt our ship break free from the pull of the whirlpool, and we shot forward at a breakneck speed. And then we hit the second whirlpool. The two swirling eyes must not have been square, because this time I had to forcefully turn the wheel to the right to push us back over to the edge of the rushing water. We were once again thrust forward with great speed, and then we were slingshotted into the next vortex. I repeated the same actions for the third whirlpool, and then tensed up with fear as we headed for the fourth. Four up, one to the right, one up, one to the left, and then we're home free. Before we even hit the fourth vortex, I spun my ship's wheel to the left like I was playing roulette. Instantly, the Dragon Queen's bow veered starboard, and I heard stunned gasps from all around the deck.
What are you doing, Ben?
Kandara screamed.
Now we're going toward the center!
No, we're not, I reassured her over the sound of my thumping heartbeat. We're going around it.
Sure enough, when we were caught up by the rushing water of the fourth vortex, the ship followed its curve all the way around to the northern side of the formation. Once we hit the very top of the whirlpool, I spun the wheel back to its original position, and then let the water launch us into the next one. This time, I spun the wheel like a madman, and then held on for dear life as we rode the whirlpool's churning waters all the way around its circumference. Screams rang out around me as we all took a twirl on the world's worst teacup ride, and then I halted the wheel's momentum in place. We were thrown forward, and then we found ourselves in the next whirlpool. This would be our one to the left, so I continued to shift the wheel as I tried to keep us at the far edge of the vortex. When we hit the bottom, I righted the rudder, and we came to our last stop on the whirlpool fields.
This is it, Ben!
Tyrion tried to hype me up.
This is the last one!
We were now traveling pretty fast, even with the sails acting as mediocre air brakes, and the wheel in my hands threatened to twist and turn and send us off course. I let out a scream of frustration as I tried to hold it in place, but it felt like I was playing tug-of-war with an elephant. The damn thing wouldn't budge, no matter how much I heaved. This was bad. This was very, very bad. If I lost control now, we would be tossed into one of the other vortexes. A vortex that was spinning in the opposite direction and would damage our ship at best. At worst, we'd be sucked into the whirlpool's center, where the Dragon Queen would be torn to smithereens, and we would all meet our end in a watery grave. I couldn't let that happen. I was the Draco Rex. I let out one more grunt of determination as I leveraged the wheel up, wedged my shoulder underneath the spoke, and shoved it with all I had. As I did so, the wooden wheel began to turn, and I quickly steadied it with my other hand and veered us back onto our course. The chaos had caused us to miss our exit the first time around, so I slightly turned us so we'd continue on around the entirety of the vortex. This really was the world's worst fucking roundabout. Finally, when I hit the left side of the swirling water, I twisted the wheel back to a straight position and held on for dear life. We lurched forward with the speed of a cheetah, and then... silence. We were still rocketing through the ocean, but there was no tension on the wheel, no swirling waters around us. We were free.
You did it, Ben!
Kandara squealed. Holy shit! I pushed my hand back through my hair as I let out a sigh of relief. Oh, we did, didn't we?
That was amazing!
Lizanne called out.
Can we go again?
Good job, dear one.
George congratulated me.
I never doubted you, Draco Rex,
Jonas noted, without even opening his eyes.
Not for 1 second.
Thanks. But we should really be thanking Tyrion. He's the one who found us the path through these things.
I just found the path. You are the one who navigated through it, my friend. That takes much more skill than a simple flyover.
My heart was still jumping around inside my chest, and I could feel my hands trembling violently as I tried to calm myself down. But it was over. Somehow, some way, we'd made it through the field of dangerous, ship-crushing whirlpools. Guys, I turned to my crewmates and smiled widely. Remind me to find a different route on the way back. The joke got a hearty laugh out of all of my friends, and we took a brief moment to revel in our victory. However, we didn't dwell on it for too long. There was still a mission at hand. The Dragon Queen continued forward through the crystal blue sea for another hour or so, before we saw our destination.
Land ho!
Tyrion called out via our dragon bond. Sure enough, off in the distance was a large stretch of land. From back here, all we could see was a sandy beach that ran up into a bunch of grass, and some trees off in the distance. We'd arrived at the mysterious, dangerous island. But more importantly, we were one step closer to hatching our wind dragon.